You are now live.
Hey, Drew.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. Aryeh Proman here, filling in again for Morty Plotzker because he's a little under the weather. We wish him a Purim Shleima. So I'm going to read Mishpatim, the Dvar Torah from Rabbi Nachman Kahana. So the topic is, open your eyes, the angels are working overtime. When Lefi's Parsha, Rashi states that when Aaron met Moshe after 10 years, tens of years of separation, Moshe introduced his wife Zipporah and his two sons. Aaron's reaction was one of grief and hurt. The Jewish people now in Egypt are being crushed under the yoke of slavery. Why bring three more Jews into this cruel situation? From his reaction, it would appear that Aaron was denying or at least doubting the forthcoming Exodus, because if indeed the Jews were to be leaving within a year's time, which occurred, why did Aaron object to three more Jews taking part in the great experience? The answer lies in our parsha. The initial set of halachot, which was revealed to the nation after the incredible, unprecedented event at Mount Sinai, relates to the Eved Ivri, a Jew or Jewess, who is obligated to work for another Jew for various reasons, usually for a period of 6 years. At the end of 6 years of work, or at the advent of the Yovel, which is the Jubilee year, whichever comes first, the Jewish bondsman has the option to go free or to remain a bondsman until the following Jubilee year. If he chooses to remain a bondsman, the master must bring him to the Beis Din, where they pierce his ear with an awl while standing by the doorway, as the Torah states, V'yigisho Adonav el ha'elokim, V'yigisho el ha'delet o el mezuzah, V'asa Adonav et hazno b'marseya b'avado l'olam. The master shall bring him into God, and shall bring him to the door, or into the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. The Gemara in Kiddushin explains why the ear was chosen to be pierced than any other organ. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hozen sheshama koli al-Sinai, sh'as shamati li kol b'nei shal avadim, v'lo avadim la'avadim, v'halach zeh v'kana adon la'asmo yiratzeah. The Holy One, blessed be He, declared the ear that heard me say at Mount Sinai, the children of Israel are my servants, and may not be the servants of servants, servants of another human being, whether Jew or Gentile, and this man voluntarily became a servant to another man, shall be pierced. Hashem declared the Jewish nation to be free and independent of other human beings while serving only Hashem. Aaron was telling Moshe that Zipporah and her two sons are the only Jews in the world who are free and independent. To bring them into a situation where they lose that freedom even for a short time is a sin, a chilul Hashem. Therefore, send them back to Midian, and they will return to you after we attain our freedom. A Jew in the Galus is subordinate to Gentile leaders and their laws. They are taxed to support many programs which are not beneficial for Jews. They are drafted into the armies of Gentile nations and die while fighting their wars. Hashem declared us to be His and only His servants, which can be performed only when we are in our land and under a Jewish government. Slaves to the personal delusion. Within the halacha regarding an Eved Ivri, the master, employer, has the right to couple off the Jewish bondsman with a Gentile slave woman. The children to be born to them would have the halachic status of the mother, and they would be Gentile slaves of the master. The connection between the child and the Jewish bondsman who begot him would be a biological but not halachic. The man is a Jew, the child is a Gentile slave, like his mother. As stated above, at the end of 6 years of work, but when the Ovel arrives, the Jewish bondsman has the option to go free or to remain a bondsman until the following Yovel. If he chooses to be a slave, he must declare before Beis Din as follows. I love my master, my wife, and children, and do not want to go free. And then his master should take him before the judges. They'll put him to the door or the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl, and then he will be bondsman for life until the next Jubilee year. The bondsman's declaration before the Beis Din court indicates that he is delusionary, living in the world of fantasy and hallucinations. At the time of his declaration, his master is no longer such. The Gentile woman he lived with was never his wife, and the offspring she gave birth to him with the bondsman were never his children. There are two broadly accepted premises within the wild circles in the Galut, that the state of Israel is in great danger, while life in the United States or other places in the Galut is secure. This is a bubble of delusionary virtual reality that relegates its adherents to being slaves to their personal instincts. We in Eretz Yisrael are threatened, but are not in mortal danger. The Jews in the Galut are in mortal danger. We are the only nation in the world explicitly threatened with nuclear weapons, and there is little solace in the non-nuclear threats. But in reality, we are in the safest place on the planet. The Torah in Malachim 2, chapter 6, relates a story including involving Elisha, the protege of Eliyahu Navi. The king of Aram learned that Elisha was in the town of Datan of northern Shomron. He sent a large military contingent to surround the town with orders to capture Elisha. The force arrived there at night and waited. In the morning, Gehazi, the student of Elisha, went outside and saw that the enemy had completely besieged the town. In desperation, he called out to Elisha, who calmed the young man by saying, "Do not fear, for there are more on our side than there are on theirs." And then Elisha prayed to Hashem, saying, "Lord, open the eyes of Gehazi, so he can see the surrounding spiritual world." And Hashem opened his eyes, and he saw the mountain filled with horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. Surrounding Eretz Yisrael are myriads of God's angels protecting the righteous of the way. At this point, you dear reader, and I'm again reading Rabbi Kahana, might be shrugging your shoulders in skepticism and thinking that what Hashem performed for a great tzaddik like Elisha is not necessarily what Hashem does for our lowly generation. Wrong. Whoever thinks that the establishment of the state of Israel, the victories in our impossible wars, and the quality of life we enjoy today are not the result of God's personal intervention is simply not thinking. The angels are being overworked in their defense of the Holy Land. After every war, we hear tales of soldiers who swore that angels were driving them onto victory. By every human standard, the state of Israel should have died in childbirth and should certainly not have attained the mature age of 67 and most certainly not have the most stable currency in the world. We are now in the midst of Hashem's fulfillment of his promise that he will return his children to Eretz Israel. And what of the reality in the Galut, where our fellow Jews view their situation with serenity? The Jews who live in the Galut are similar to the Eved Ivri, who declares, "I love my master, my wife, and children, and do not want to go free." Their masters are the government of the land they live in. Their wives are the domestic comfort. Their homes, cars, boats, bungalows, TVs, and the finished basement replete with full-size billiards tables. Their children are the contributions they make to their Gentile society. Their implied declaration is that they do not want to go free. It is their admission, and they pick and choose the mitzvot which serve them and will serve Hashem only on their terms. It's a little harsh mitzvah again for us Jews here living in the United States and outside of America. A bit of history. Upon the establishment of the state of Israel, the gates of the land were thrown open, with the first law to be passed being the law of return. Hashem granted the dispersed of Am Yisrael a period of time to return home, in accordance with Israel's capacity to absorb the returnees. In its first years, Israel absorbed over 1 million desperate Jews from Europe and Arab and Muslim lands, a feat unparalleled in all history, and all this in the midst of wars. In these short years, the land has embraced its returning children so that today, the majority of Jews in the world have arrived home. This in itself proves that our generation is the greatest one since the generation that entered the land with Yehoshua ben Nun. As modern history evolves, we see an increase in the discomfort level of Jews in foreign lands. Today, it is uncomfortable to be a Jew in Europe and in many other places in the world. We are all aware that latent anti-Semitism is as close as the Gentile at the next work desk in your office or behind the gentle smile on your neighborhood greengrocer's face. The reality of life has taught us that the fabric of society is thin and that it takes little to turn neighbor against neighbor and friend into foe. But this thought does not really disturb our brothers and sisters in the Galut, because deep in the recesses of the Jewish Galut mind is knowledge that if, God forbid, the situation becomes intolerable, Israel will always be there to take them in. The house in places like the five towns of Lakewood will always be there to be sold to finance their return to Israel if need be. This, too, is virtual reality. He's really ripping it. Rambam Tshuva, that Hashem waits a period of time for the sinner to return, but if he does not, Hashem creates a situation in his life that makes doing tshuva a very difficult, if not impossible, turn. Hashem has given the Jews in the Galut a limited window of opportunity to return to Eretz Yisrael. However, with the passing of time, it will become increasingly difficult to do so, until that tragic moment when Hashem will say, "I've come, no more," and the gates will be closed. We pray in the chapter preceding the morning Shema, Batov Yichenu Koma Miyu La'arsenu. Lead me upright to our land. Meaning, permit me to return home, not as a poor refugee with only the shirt on my back, as was the case after World War II, but upright in body and spirit with self-pride and confidence. Okay, I'll answer that. We want to be upright, telling there are people who actually only go to Israel when they die and they get buried in Israel, and that's not upright, that prone when you're laying down. They're horizontal, okay. There's still time for those who wish to assure their family's spiritual and physical future, but who knows for how long. You must take his words and start getting in real estate in Israel, and all of us merit the ability to return to our land and our home. Have a wonderful evening. Hopefully Morty Plasko will be tomorrow and join us back for the next week's Parsha of Truma. Take care. Have a great night.